Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 12th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 96 and we're going to unpack paragraph 3 today, which begins with, "He may be broke and homeless," and end at the top of page 97 with, "You may be aiding in his destruction rather than in his recovery." Let's see, today's readers are the 12 steps. It's going to be Leah S. No, wait a minute. Did I hear? No, yes, 12 steps would be Leah S. The 12 traditions, Shelley E. Reading the text today in support would be Abby S. and Ellen D. And now we're looking at our newcomer greeter sponsor info. Person, and that's Elena A.M., and the announcements will be Leslie M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's meeting, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, which would be Wednesday, the 11th of March, is 14239, 14,239. And then today we already had a meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time this morning, and the share ID number for that one is 14248, 14,248, and that would be for Thursday, March 12th, 2020. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Leah S. to please read the 12 steps. Press a quick star one, Leah. It sounds like we have a little difficulty there.
Melanie, it's Lorraine. I can.
Oh boy. Them. Oh boy. Okay. Now I'm being heard.
You are. Thanks, Lorraine.
Oh boy. This is Leah. Okay. Thank you. Step number one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step number 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. I would like to now ask Shelley E. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're on page 96 in the chapter Working with Others, taking apart paragraph 3 today. And it begins with, he may be broken homeless, and then ends at the top of page 97 with a sentence that reads, you may be aiding in his destruction rather than in his recovery. And I would like to open up this meeting by asking Abby S. to read that paragraph, please, and comment on her experience, strength, and hope. And I wanted to say I apologize for saying anything about the time, and if in any way, shape, or form it harmed you, I regret that, and I'm sorry, Abby. Would you please continue?
Yes, hi. Oh, my gosh, you're so kind. I feel bad, too. Sorry I got on late. So, hi, this is Abby. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. He may be broke and homeless. If he is, you might try to help him about getting a job or give him a little financial assistance. But you should not deprive your family or creditors of money they should have. Perhaps you will want to take the man into your home for a few days, but be sure you use discretion. Be certain he will be welcomed by your family and that he is not trying to impose upon you for money, connections, or shelter. Permit that and you only harm him. You will be making it possible for him to be insincere. Okay, so I like that this is talking about family. I'm going to go ahead and kind of stick to that. I don't have a family of my own where I could have harmed if I brought someone into my home. But what the general idea that I get from this paragraph is that, you know, in recovery, we come here to, you know, get sober and to make better lives for ourselves, but we don't come here to, like, abandon our families, like, opinions and ideas. And there was a time in recovery where I came in and, you know, got, like, totally obsessed. I can get totally obsessed with things, as many of us can, other than food. And, you know, I can take program even to the extreme where I stopped really caring about my family. And that's just kind of, that wasn't helpful to my family, and it also wasn't helpful to me. But, you know, I can think about this actually as living with people, like roommates and stuff, and bringing people into the home. You know, I would have to make sure that my roommates were okay with someone staying over, you know, staying the night. And so I know that the general idea of this paragraph is keeping that from the newcomer so that you don't harm the newcomer, you know, making them be accountable for their own actions. This program isn't about, like, getting someone a job, and it's about getting them sober. And I just, you know, I remember when I was worried about, you know, how am I going to make money, or how am I going to get a job, or how am I going to do this or that, my sponsor would just tell me, Abby, just work the 12 steps and get sober, and everything else will fall into place. And it's amazing how that does really happen. And if I just put my energy into the steps, like, other things just seem to fall into place. And so today I'm really grateful. I have a good relationship with my family, thank God. And, you know, I actually miss my family a lot. They're across the country, and I'm moving in a few months. But, you know, I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful for the Big Book. I'm grateful for all of you. Thanks for letting me be on the meeting this morning. I really needed this. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. Yeah, you betcha. Thanks a lot, Abby S. The lines are going to be now open for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 96 in your Big Book. If you'd give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can start with a group
Lisa
of folks.
G.
Lisa G.
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Natalie G.
Natalie G. Gotcha.
Ellen D.
Ellen D.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Chris D.
Chris D, like David?
Yes.
And you spell your name K-R-I-S?
C-H-R-I-S.
C-H-R-I-S. Okay, great. Thanks. That'll be the lineup, I guess, for this round. Let me name those folks off here, and then that way we can go from that direction. We have Lisa G., Barbara E., Natalie G., Ellen D., Kathleen O., and Chris D. You're first up, Lisa. Good morning.
Hey, Melanie, it's Lisa G, recovering in Texas. And just real quick, I had an experience kind of early on in program a long time ago that I had a sponsee. And, you know, the thing that I think is important for me to remember is that everyone is a sick person. And my tendency was to be a savior and make everything okay for everybody. And so this particular person was very ill, mentally ill, and a big fat user. And I'm sorry I'm saying the word fat, but I mean, like, it was awful, but I didn't realize it because I was so into my wanting to save her and, you know, like, take care of her, and such wrong motives that I had. And I didn't know that at the time. So it's just like, you know, just to remember that, you know, we need to be recovered, I think, before we sponsor somebody. And then we need to be very, I don't know what the word is, just really careful. Because for those of us that have a tendency to be codependent, which I am, and, you know, we want to help people. I want to help somebody so bad that it takes me out of myself and looking at myself, because it's so much easier to take care of somebody else than to take care of myself. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa G. Next up is Barbara E., and then Barbara and Natalie will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. Happy, what is this, Thursday to you? I'm confused. Okay, well, this paragraph is important because boundaries are important to me. Taking responsibility for others' feelings so that they affect my serenity and my program is not what I signed up for. I can be sober, considerate, kind, and helpful, but I don't want to be your enabler. I can't fix you. Only you and your higher power can fix you, and maybe you do need to hit that bottom. I know I did, and my enabling you would slow down that process. Remember, this is 2020, not 1937 or 8, and we are Overeaters Anonymous, with one goal but a number of differing food disorders, from bulimia to anorexia to body dysmorphia to obesity. And many experts, of which I am none, like nutritionists and psychologists and medical professionals, can give you the advice. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope, hold that flashlight beside you as you walk through the steps of the big book so that you don't sink into the quicksand or trip on the roots of the trees, and to share this with you and know that there's no outside circumstance that will send me or you back to the food. Prayers are beautiful. I find I have to pray, but take responsibility for my own life. I have to look for my home within me and open myself up to the possibilities. And when you are truly ready, I'm ready to work with you. I'm not a marriage counselor, and I've never taken a compulsive overeater, homeless overeater, into my home. But I will drive you to a meeting, bring you a meal if you're ill, call you to say hi if I haven't seen or heard from you in a while, if you're even in need of some financial assistance and I'm able to give it to you, I give it to you because it gives me joy to be able to do it. But I must remember always that I don't want to deprive anyone of finding their bottoms. It's a wonderful program to be grateful for, and there are so many gratitudes out there. Just yesterday, I couldn't find my car keys. I couldn't find my driver's license. I couldn't find my Visa card. And surprisingly enough, I was calm. I sat in my chair and said, God, you'll show me the way. And he did. Amazing, amazing.
That was your time, Barbara.
Oh, perfect. God and you. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. That's Barbara E. Natalie G., you're up for your 3 minutes, and then Ellen D. will follow.
Hi, Melanie. This is Natalie G., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I love how I'm in my prayers this morning working with a new fear, the fear of they will not get what they need. And then we read this paragraph, and I'm so, as someone said, I'm so afraid that people won't get what they need. I haven't said it out loud, because then I won't get what I need. And it's, you know, it drives my whole life. Is that why I'm a compulsive overeater? No. I'm a compulsive overeater because I have an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. But I notice, like a lot of my fellows, I'm so concerned with what other people need and want. And the thought of, I've just been going crazy being of service to everybody. And then I notice, I don't do this for my husband. I don't go out of my way to drive him places or make time for him, or he's the family that I have. All my other family is in other parts of the world. You know, I don't always make time for my closest friends or do stuff for them. like I do for strangers or people in program or even my friends I don't see so often. It's interesting. And what am I so afraid of will happen to me if I don't make sure everybody else gets what they need? And I need to check with my husband, you know, is this okay that I'm doing this? I, as someone said earlier, I can get pretty obsessed about anything. And one of the things I can get obsessed about is this program. And in my mind, I have a vision that my program is like the background, and it doesn't have to be in everybody's face. It's my program and I work it, and I don't have to make it a big deal in front of everyone. So I think the paragraph's really relevant. Yes, it's not in the 1930s anymore, and I don't think I've ever had, well, that's not true. There are some people in program I know who could have used a place to stay or had trouble finding housing or were in really bad shape. And we didn't have the ability to offer them that, and I had to be okay with that. So, and know that that they had their higher power. So I guess what I'm saying is, for me, the program talks about us staying connected to our higher power and then trusting that people that we're trying to help or people that are new in the program or even have been in the program for a while and are struggling, they have their higher power too. And it's not me, for sure. It's not me. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much, you guys. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Natalie G. Ellen D., you're up for 3 minutes, and then Kathleen O. will follow you.
Hi, this is Ellen D., recovered in Texas, and gratefully so. I like how it says you might try to help, meaning I might not. And then perhaps you will want, but perhaps I won't. So, you know, I have the choice here, and it says to use discretion. Discretion means discernment, good judgment, ability to make good decisions. And I love how in step 11 it says, if I don't know what to do, I can pray and relax and not struggle, and the answer will come because my thinking is on a higher plane. So if I ask, I'll get help and I'll get guidance. And then it says impose. Impose means to intrude or thrust oneself upon another offensively, to take unfair advantage of. So I don't want to do that. I want to have boundaries. And then it says, permit that and you only harm him. I think I'm helping people, but I'm really not doing them a favor if I'm not letting them experience life. And another part of the book says, you know, this might be the jolt they need if they lose their job. But and that, you know, if they hit a bottom, it may open a path to the discovery of God, and that dependence on God is what they should have, not on people. And I think, so I have boundaries with my sponsees, and I think the main thing I can compare this to is I don't make myself available 24/7 to sponsees. I let them know they can call me or text me, but I, you know, mainly I'm going to talk to them in the time that I've set aside, and then if they need me in between, we'll try to set something up if possible. But I don't want them to think that I'm their higher power. They really need to depend on higher power, and if they don't have one, they can also be reaching out and have their own tribe and their own group, reaching other fellows. And so I just think that's healthier, and I found that to be better for them and for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen D. Next up will be Kathleen O., and then after Kathleen, we're going to have Chris D., and then we'll open it up for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 96 of your big book. Hi, Kathleen.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your service this morning. Great to hear all your shares this morning, everyone. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. So he may be broken homeless. If he is, you might help him. This is really about helping someone. And, you know, truly our main purpose is to carry the message of the 12 steps so that we can help and guide people to find a power that's going to solve their problems, just like we were guided to the power that helped, you know, that helped me solve my problems. And, you know, our goal isn't to aid in another's destruction by enabling them. There was a woman in program once who became homeless, and someone actually did take her into their house, but it didn't turn out very well. And what worked better was to really help her figure things out on herself, and but help her do that. And so anyway, with a lot of effort, we were able to get her into some community housing, and you know, that seemed to work for her. When I say we, that wasn't me, that was a group of people that helped her do that. So, you know, it's, I mean, you know, what is it going to take for us to get to the point to go to any length? And it's important that I allow people to hit their bottom. And that's not depriving, and I don't want to deprive them of that opportunity. You know, I need to know the difference between helping someone and enabling them. And the part about family, my problem with my spouse was I was sponsoring a lot of people. I was on the phone a lot. I was, you know, doing meetings on the phone, and that got in the way. It wasn't like someone was in the house, but he felt like someone was always in the house with us because I was always on the phone with people. So I had to set some boundaries on that. And, you know, so this is about guiding someone through the steps so that they can have a spiritual awakening to guide them through cleaning up their past. And when they work these steps, they're no longer going to fear economical insecurity. And I have seen people work miracles in their lives. So, and with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Oh, okay, we're going to have Chris D. take her 3 minutes now. And so you might want to get ready to share after Chris D., page 96, paragraph 3. Hi, Chris. Chris, if you're still with us, you want to press star one? Hi, this is Christy. I'm a compulsive overeater from New York.
Okay.
And this is my first phone meeting. So I thought I was just letting you know I was here. But I do have a thought or two to share. This paragraph reminds me of service. And I am on step 9 right now. And so I believe that my service now is to heal the hurts and the harms that I've caused. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of support from my OA community, but I'm getting along. And the other thing that the paragraph reminded me of was human dignity. I have been graced with the rediscovery of my human dignity, and I think that my service to others is to support their human dignity and to constantly create an environment where they can discover and grow in their human dignity and then find their path to recovery. Those are just my few thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christy. Stay after the Serenity Prayer to the top of the hour. I'd like to invite you to give your name and phone number if you'd like to have contact. And now I'd like to open up the lines for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 96. Give me your first name, first initial, your last name.
Carrie S. in Bend.
Hi, Carrie S.
Sherry.
Hi, R.
I hear Sherry. Is that what I heard? And I heard you too, Hoodie.
Yes.
Sure. First initial of your last name, Sherry.
It's M.
M. Okay, thanks so much. And then after Hoodie, anybody else?
Courtney M.
Courtney M. Let's go with this lineup then. We have Terry S., Sherry M., Hoodie R., and Courtney M. Hi, Terry. You're 3 minutes.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And the sentence I wanted to talk about was aiding in their destruction rather than their recovery. When... And I admit, I've never even met anybody in OA that's needed a home or has been in jail, you know, to these kind of extremes. I've never loaned money to anybody. But I came into OA very, very needy. And when I found that level of acceptance and love and people that seemed to really care about me, even when I didn't care for myself, it's such a thrill and it's so comforting that I stopped being in touch with my regular friends, my family. It was very minimal. It was all I did was live, eat, and breathe program. And when I see newcomers and returning members that come back into the rooms now, I think there is a tendency for all of us, to want that, to be that way. But when I'm encouraging that too much, because, I like being the savior, I like being the gold star person, and when my ego is running, self-will run riot, what am I really exemplifying? What am I really showing? And this program is about taking this into all my affairs, which means I can't live in the rooms of OA as much as I'd like to. And so when I exhibit that in my craziness early on in recovery, it gives the idea that that's what people need to do. So it's that discernment. It's that really fine line between, yes, I have to do a lot of work for my recovery and I'm taking action every day, but when I'm showing the newcomer that that's all there is, I had times in my recovery, in my non-recovery and relapse, that I looked at people like that and thought, well, I can't do any of that. And so I just went right back into the food and ended up leaving OA. So I was contributing to my own destruction because there's that constant comparison. So I'm not sure I'm making any sense with this, but thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. Sherry M., you're up next. How do you spell your first name?
Hi, this is Sherry H.M. From Mount Vernon, north of Seattle. It's my first time sharing, and I'm just so excited. I've listened to you guys for like 5 years. I've been abstinent listened for like 5.5 years, been abstinent for 5, and I can't thank you enough. So anyway, this paragraph makes me think about letting all natural consequences fall. Reminds me of a quick story. My grandmother used to feed raccoons on her porch all the time, and she'd put out the food and she'd be going to me, "Oh, Sherry, why do they keep coming up to the porch?" But of course, they were coming because, she fed them all the time. So it reminds me, I have to let all natural consequences fall for other people, including sponsees. I can't do the work for them. I have to let their consequences fall and do self-care. Otherwise, I will be right in the arms of my refrigerator, and that's not a good choice for me. So anyway, thank you so very much, and it's so great to be here. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing, Sherry H.M. Hoodie R., you're up next, and then Courtney M. will follow you, and then we'll have time for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 96. Hi, Hoodie.
Hi, Melanie. This is Hoodie R., recovered compulsive overeater, and I love this paragraph, and it just helps me to remember that, you will be molding, making it possible for him to be in, no, you may be aiding in his destruction rather than his recovery. And perhaps you will want to take this man into your home for a few days. And I was just thinking, because, I was privy. I had the opportunity to be in someone's house, and it really did give me the opportunity to learn the little details of what abstinence is. And sometimes in my head I think, I think I want to go out, and I want to go to meetings, and I want to do the same thing and take people into my home and teach them and help and guide them, because, I want to change the world. And then that ego gets into the head. And I have to realize that what my priority is. And today, is it really possible? Is it good for me? Is it good for my family? Is it going to affect? How is it going to affect them? And where am I supposed to hold? Is it the right time, timing? And you know, it says here, you know, it has to be done. I discretion, and also, and even when I'm making my phone, if I talk to a newcomer who is, you know, who is calling me and just complaining all the time and wants this and that and complaining about this and all these, you know, terrible things going on and just like talking on and on and on. And I have to, you know, stop and say and be honest and stop and say, you know what, you're not going far. I can't listen to this anymore. What do you want to do about it? What do you want to change? And, you know, that could help them to realize, you know, but to just be you know, listening to them complaining and the disease is also helping. Is sort of like accepting, like okay, and just agreeing with them. And you know, if I just put my foot down and say, you know, I can't listen to this anymore. What do you want to do? What do you want to change? Do you want to do something differently? And are you willing to go to any lengths? And if you want a better life, you know, you would know we could talk and change, and then leave it on like that and let him go. And it's difficult for me, but you know, with each trial and error, I get better and better. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Hoodie R. Courtney M., it's your 3 minutes now, and then we're going to open up the lines for a couple, two, three more people to share on that paragraph. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Melanie. This is Courtney M., recovered in Florida. Thank you for your service today and everybody on Team Thursday. So it's kind of funny. I again, like others have mentioned, I haven't had the situation come up where I've had somebody who was in these kinds of straits that needed help. But I have come across people in program and in the recovery program I started in who were looking for coddling in other ways, like in their emotional ways and kind of like somebody shared earlier, just wanting to complain and not actually take action. And I feel like if I am only allowing them to wallow and stay in the poor me mode, and I'm not offering maybe a little bit of my own experience and strength and hope, then I am enabling them to stay in that mode. You know, I had somebody reach out to me this morning over text, and they were worried because somebody brought donuts into work, and she was asking about, you know, how to handle that so that she wasn't tempted. And so, you know, I can just offer her, hey, you know, maybe if you do service, you could distract yourself a little bit, and you don't have to stay there staring them down, you know. And that's what I can offer. I can just offer, hey, this has worked for me. Maybe you can try this, as opposed to, oh yeah, oh gosh, that's terrible. Oh my gosh, I hate it. Like, oh, the smell. You know, just kind of commiserating isn't actually all that helpful. And in fact, it might keep the person who's kind of reaching out for help in a place where they continue to need help as opposed to getting help. And you know, reaching out to their higher power and asking for the strength, their higher power strength to get them through that situation. Because like somebody else pointed out earlier, I'm not their higher power, thank goodness. I don't have to be that. I definitely do not have that in me. So but I do have some experience that I can share, and I don't want to enable people so that they stay stuck. That's the opposite of what I'm trying to do when I do service. And I think this paragraph reminds me of that I'm not trying to enable people. I'm trying to give them tools and give them hope. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing. Okay, so the lines are now, and that was Courtney M. The lines are now open for probably three additional people based on the time that we have left to comment on Jackie, paragraph yeah. 3, page 96. Jackie?
Janice K.
Penny Did I hear C. what? Penny C? Okay, gotcha. And then Janice K?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
That's the three. We'll work on that. So Jackie, you're up first, please. Jackie M.
Thank you for your service, Melanie. And I'm Jackie M., a compulsive overeater and everything else in Michigan. And I'm one of those that when I look at this, I'm still on step one. And I'm like, I want so bad to help people, and I can't wait till I get to the point that I can, you know, have a sponsee, or I can help people more than I can now. But this really scares me because I think I am an enabler. And I think this is something, looking at it at the other view, that I'm going to need to really pray and ask HP for help on this, because I want to help people. And I know that there's somebody in my face-to-face meeting. And I think of Lori when somebody came up to him and said, you know, how are you really? Really, 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 how are you? I don't know if I have the guts to do that. And I hope that once I get to that, to step 12, that I will be able to do that, and that I will be able to stand up for not enabling. I don't know what the right word is, but that I'll be able to stand up and actually really help somebody. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
You too, Jackie. Thank you. Jackie M. I'd like to now call on Penny C. to comment 3 minutes on that paragraph. Hi, Penny. 17.
Hi, thank you. It's Penny C. Thank you, Melanie. I just got a message on my other machine that yet another one of my places to go to is closed. But anyway, what I was wanting to share on this paragraph, that last sentence, you may be adding to his destruction rather than his recovery. That sentence has always been hard for me to hear or read because, you know, I think that I might have, and most probably have, done that without knowing it through the, you know, the many years I've been sponsoring. You know, the 11th step nightly review says, was I kind and loving to everybody? And yes, that's my most, that's uppermost in my mind all the time, that I just need to be kind and loving. And so how can I be kind and loving and yet not go overboard trying to help somebody who may not really be wanting or able to receive the help I want to give. So I'm looking at, I need to pray and think more about that paragraph, because even at the moment I'm in the process of sponsoring a couple of people who I think I want recovery for them more than they want it for themselves. And so it's all a matter of my going to my higher power and you know, and meditating and listening for the answer and being able to say what I mean. Don't be mean when I say it. When I tell these people that I really don't think I'm good, you know, I'm helping them at this point. And so this was good for me to read and hear it shared on today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Penny C. Next up will be Janice. Hi, Janice. Your 3 minutes start now.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. My comment on this was, when the payoff is big enough, the work will get done. And sometimes we have to do a lot of suffering and endure a lot of pain, but when the payoff is big enough, the work will get done, because consequences are going to speak louder than voices. There's an old thing that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And you know, the totality of change required for entire abstinence is huge. It is literally true that an all-new set of ideas, emotions, and conceptions enter as the old ones are pushed to the side. And training and opening myself to those new ideas, concepts, and emotions is not simple or easy work. But then again, I also need to consider that the recovery I have achieved now is the foundation for the recovery I make today, which is the foundation for what I can do tomorrow. One thing I have truly come to understand in this program is that it is a one day at a time process. It's a right now process. I can't make promises outside of today and outside of now, because this is my current reality. And when the payoff is big enough, I become willing to do the work. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice Kay. Looks like time's going to give us at least one more 3-minute share. Anybody want to do that? Take that 3 minutes? Quick press of star one. We'll get you out there.
Sherry KB.
Hey, Sherry KB. It's yours.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for your service, Sherry KB. Grateful recovery compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service and everybody on the line, and welcome home. Welcome to OA. You know, I've been listening to everybody, and what has come up for me is listening is that in the past, when I used to be a sponsor, I did a lot of behavior that was so codependent, and I really thought I was helping the person. But then when I started being taken through this big book, there's so many directions, incredible directions in this big book, and you know, it shows me when it's the proper time to help and when it's the proper time not to help. It gives me all these directions in this book. And I just know that I need to be, have direction from my higher power. I know that I can, you know, if I'm questioning something I'm doing with somebody, when in doubt, live it out. If I need more clarity, I can call 3 recovered people and run that by them and ask them their opinion. Pray. I've had situations where a sponsee has called me crying on the phone when we're getting ready to do the work, and I know that the best gift I can give to this protege is to get them to rely on their higher power and not on me. They can get support from me, but not reliance on me. And so I know that with that in the forefront of my mind, I always think of it that way. What would my higher power have me do? What would be best for this person? And sometimes I'm more uncomfortable with the situation than they are, because I'm uncomfortable because I want to people please them and take care of them, but that's not really doing them a favor. And so when I look at this, that's what comes to mind to me, because I have directions here of what to do, when to give and how to give, and if it's appropriate and if it's not. And I don't want to add any destructiveness to this situation. But if I follow the dictates of a higher power and I use this book and I follow the directions in this book, I can't go wrong. And again, I fully rely on my higher power. I try to get them to rely on their higher power. I talk to other people. I run it by other people. Sometimes I need to do a 10-step on it, and I need to look at my own behavior. And I also know that how important it is, because I'm abstinent and I'm recovered. I have emotional abstinence or sobriety, whatever you want to call it. I have to look at that too. I have to look at all of that. I don't want to, stand in the way of what their higher power needs to do for them. Because then I'm trying to play God. And I think it's looking at the dishonesty piece. Because I'm not trusting God, or I'm trying to play God.
Time?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you were right there. Okay, great. Thanks, Sherry KB.
you know, that's the last share of this recorded meeting time. We're going to wrap this piece up and then move into the next portion of our meeting, the last 10 minutes. So if you'd join me then in what we're going to be doing next as we close out this piece. I'd like to thank all those who are in service today. I'd like to call on Ellen D. to please read on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. Thank you, Ellen.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.